What I wanted to do was to do a tribute to John Crawford. Last year at our retreat, he was with us. This year he's not on earth. He passed away Monday, February the 8th. So what I wanted to do, a lot of you do not know who this fellow is, and I'll go into that later. But what I wanted to do was show what they actually showed at his funeral. I was able to drive out and attend it. And they showed a clip. And what happened was when John was 70, he turned 70, they put this thing together. It's a montage of still photos being narrated. It's kind of like a little history, a little biography of him. And they showed this at his 70th birthday. And he was born in 1919, so this would have, you know, been 89. And then in about 05, they did an epilogue to it with an update. And we remember him more like the 05 look. So, but it's interesting. So it actually is kind of long. It's about 14 minutes, something like that. So we can kill lights and start. I guess it's not good to walk in front of the speaker. Maybe that's the lesson on that one. Yeah, John Crawford was born November 10, 1919. He turned 90 in 2009, and then in November 10, and then 3 months later, passed away February 8, 2010. I met John. It was as funny as I was thinking about it. Literally, it was just about exactly 20 years ago. I met him in 1990. He came to speak at a collegiate conference in Nashville. And I went to hear, and I'd heard of him. I'd heard of his name around Navigator circles. In fact, that I met you, Richard, that very conference. And I still remember, I wanted to get some time with him. What stood out to me were his talks were, they were different. I mean, I was used to Bible talks with good teaching and that kind of a thing. But his were more just practical, like a common guy would take the Bible, use the Bible, and then tell you something. So he had a story and he had a point and a verse, and it was just very practical to life. And that's what, that just hit me, this the his sense of what he shared. So I wanted to take he and his wife, Helen, out. And so we made an appointment to go to lunch. And as I was sitting with Noel the other day, or several weeks ago, I pointed to the area where we were sitting. And I remember, and I don't think I've eaten there since. But same Cracker Barrel across from the Opryland Hotel. But we were sitting there, and John asked me a few questions, and I did not know that he was loading his gun. But he was. Things like, well, tell me about your scripture memory practice. Tell me about, so he went down the list, asked me a few things. And so then, you know, we talked a little bit. Then he turned to Helen and said, Mom, you can go look around the gift store. You've heard this before. And I thought, what is that about? So she got up, the chair moved, she walked out, and then he turned, Mark. And he laid in that name. I still hear it over the phone and everything. Mark. At his funeral, Harvey Cox, who was in several of these pictures and several of the older fellows know him, stood up and said that he could summarize John's ministry style in three questions. And I thought, wow, that's good to get it down that good. And to be honest, I couldn't remember them. So this afternoon, I called Carol, went out there on the point and called Carol, and she got me Harvey's number, and I called him up, got him at home in Texas. I said, man, I forgot, but I'm supposed to give this thing tonight, and would you tell me exactly what you said? Because I kind of had it and kind of didn't, so I'm giving it to you exact. He said, first question that would summarize John's ministry style is, how are your finances? Translated, are you in debt? And he'd go off on that. Secondly, the next question he is asked is, how is your time in the Word? translated, are you memorizing Scripture? Third question he would ask, how is your ministry? Translated, where's your man? Who are you investing your life into? Those three really do encapsulate it. I was thinking back over how I review it, and there's several verses in Proverbs 9:7-9. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. He who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. You know, a wicked guy, a foolish guy, a guy full of himself, cannot take rebuke. He can't take it. It threatens him. A surrendered guy unto the Lord who's seeking wisdom takes it. And I would say, if that's one thing that characterizes, I'd say the Navigator work itself, it's this concept of rebuke. But it's not hateful rebuke. It's loving rebuke, but given straightforward. And I experienced that the first time I met with John Crawford and loved it. That's the thing. I was as close to tears as you could be because he ate my lunch and I wanted more. Because here's this dear little guy, and I had heard him talk, and I knew he was full of wisdom, and he was looking at me and giving it to me, and I thought, I need this. Well, what had I done was I'd gotten into reading books. I don't know how many of you do that. Books are okay, but not as a substitute for the Bible. And that's what I had done. We were supposed to read all these things that come around for ministry style and looking at different points on this and that and this and that. Well, I'd let my quiet time was in existence. I'd put it that way, but I was mainly studying more intellectual things. But I had let my scripture memory go. I had let my reading go. I had let so many, like the drive to be in God's Word for me and to apply it. Boy, it hit me. Well, what John became to me, I think, was two things. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Then also, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul said, having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our very lives, because you had become dear to us. So, there's truth, but then there's life. So my experience with John was mainly long distance. It was by phone. I bet at first we probably talked every week or two for a long time. I just thought through of that Cracker Barrel experience set the time for our relationship. Iron sharpening iron. I just jotted down, it was wisdom in personal thinking, like how I approach situations. There are many guys in this room that have been discussed on the phone with John Crawford. You don't know it, but that's the case. Situation after situation, gaining insight. My walk with God, our marriage, children, thinking about that, and finances, I would say very much. Well, at John's funeral, they had the grandchildren stand up, and I'm sure the mom and dad helped, but they had little things they read. And this one read that he was at Pawpaw's room in the nursing home. Now, when John was here last year, you remember he had a little oxygen tank. He slept on we got him a wedge, slept over here on a wedge, and he had oxygen. But during the day, he was okay. Well, right after that, he had to have oxygen all day. And it was a little portable tank he'd roll around. And then he went in the nursing home, and he and Helen went together. She's not doing well either, by the way. But he said, I was talking to him one day. He said, well, remember that little tank I had? He said, they've given me a much bigger one. In fact, it's so big, it's on a cart. And he said, I tell you, I can't even push the thing and do it justice. And he said, so when I meet with men, let's see, 89, fall, 89, going to pass away a few more months. When I meet with men, isn't that something? They come by the room, and I don't mean to trick them, but he said, I say, let's go for a walk. And he goes out in the hall, and they push, I can just see him pushing that old oxygen tank, and they've got verses in one hand, and he's barking out verses and got the thing on his nose up around his head and just kind of hobbling around his walker, and they're pushing this tank. I mean, what a sight that would be. Isn't that funny? At his funeral, remember Kirk Humphreys that came here and gave us a two-part, came two separate years and gave us talks about finances. Kirk at his funeral stood up and shared this story. He said he was in there. Now, John passed away on Monday, and he really got ill. He really started going down on Saturday before he passed away on Monday. And my last conversation with him was Thursday afternoon before he went downhill on Saturday. So, and when he passed, I never knew. I just got an email. What? But Kirk said he came in the room, and they were talking and all this. And he started to get up, and John said, wait a minute, Kirk, could you do something for me? And Kirk said, sure. And he said, just sit down. So he said, look, I don't know how long I'll be here, but when I'm gone, I want you to look out for the fellas. And he named some guys. He said, I really want you to keep tabs on them because I won't be able to do it. He said, okay. And he said, I want to ask one more thing. He said, okay. And he said, would you rub my feet? And Kurt said, okay. So he takes his shoes off, plops his legs up, leans there. He's got oxygen, you know, all this right here. Kirk's rubbing his feet. A nurse comes in. Kirk said, I can't believe it's happening. He said, I'm sitting there rubbing his feet. I look over this nurse. And she said, and John looked at her and said, ma'am, I just want you to know something. Said, I right now am walking in high cotton because the mayor of Oklahoma City is rubbing my feet. Is that not a John Crawford? I mean, that was like Wednesday before he dies on Monday. Oh, that's funny. Mm. So this grandchild is standing up at the funeral and said, it was in December. I went to see Pawpaw, and he said, would you check me on some verses? And I said, okay. He said, but what I didn't realize was it was 300. Think of that. 90 years old, he went through 300 verses, and then the child said, and they were in Proverbs. Now, that's my dilemma, my anathema book. I just, all those references, they just, and he was moving through them. 2 months before he died, he was already 90. What a pace. Well, Harvey Cox sent out a little email, and I called him up and said these words. He said, yes. Harvey said, I never talked to him again after this. We were walking down the hall, and I started laughing. He didn't know I was laughing. I was out there just laughing. Because I had the picture, because John already explained to me what he did with guys, and Harvey didn't know that he was one of the guinea pigs. But Harvey says, I was pushing this cart thing with this oxygen going down the hall, and he said, we got done with a verse, and John turned to me. No, he said, we got back in the room, and he said, this was his last comment. He said, literally, I didn't talk to him after this, and this is the last word to me. He said, Harv, you know, you are just an ordinary guy. And Harv said, I was just sitting there. And then John said, but I too am just an ordinary guy. You know what? We ought to just keep investing our lives in ordinary guys. Because, for goodness sake, God made so many of them. Well, Isaiah 60:22, the smallest one will become a mighty clan, the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Thank you, Lord, for John Crawford, for his life. What an example to all of us. Those of us who knew him from afar, those of us who knew him close. We're going to miss him. We're excited that he's with you. Thank you for his legacy. Thank you for his building into us. Be with us now as we go into small groups. Help us to think through on our lives. Help us to think through on the day, the things that we're taught. Help us to digest and help us to grow. In Christ's name.